This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. Thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, Managing Editor of Texas Scorecard, joined, of course, always a special occasion we can get Michael Quinn Sullivan right here at the Headline desk to talk about some of the big stories this week.
What you clearly mean is I literally couldn't get anyone else to come on today.
It's always hard.
Our schedules, you're
a busy guy, yeah. You know, we're busy. But we've got some really big stories that have been up at TexasScorecard.com this week. We're going to also be talking about the ballot propositions that Republican primary voters are going to get to see when they go to the polls next year, and we're going to run through those. But first, a couple of other stories. One that I think really struck us by surprise, and that has been, as you know, there's been a growing movement of people calling for a forced special session to address vaccine mandates. This is as large employers are implementing COVID vaccine mandates, saying you need to get the jab or you're going to lose your job. The governor has issued an executive order a couple months ago.
Everyone's ignored it.
Everybody has seemingly ignored it. Exactly. The courts are
including
kind of,
agencies that operate under him, like the University of Texas, Texas A&M, Texas National Guard. I think we'll talk about that and others. You know, so everyone just kind of ignoring him.
Yeah, it's completely being ignored. And so there's been an expectation that there will be some sort of forced special session, surely, because a legislative fix seems to be the only way to address this. And yet you had an interesting thing happen earlier this week where you had the governor make an announcement that we're really taking this seriously. If your employer is violating my executive order, you can call this phone number, this hotline. Mm-hmm. And people thought, well, that's a little bit underwhelming. But it only gets worse. When you actually called the number as of yesterday, this is what people were treated to. Play that clip.
Workforce Commission. For English, press 1.
Para español, oprima 2.
To apply for unemployment benefits, press 1. If you only need to reset your PIN or need to change your address or telephone number, press 2. For questions, problems, or to make changes to your existing claim, press 3. To repeat this menu, press 0.
If you call that number, you can try it. 1-800-939-6631. Okay, it really just connects you to the Texas Workforce Commission. They have now added a...
Late last night,
press 3 for employer COVID vaccine mandates, right? They re-recorded it. And yet, you know, you had over 24 hours where folks that were desperate, people who are facing job loss right before Christmas... And they're frantically calling, trying to get some sort of help, and this is what they're greeted with.
Well, and I think the worst part was we heard from several folks on social media who said, "Hey, I called that number, and because there's no menu option, I pressed 3 to talk to someone, and then the people, the Workforce Commission, had no idea what these folks were calling in about, and at least one of them said that he ended up being hung up on. They put him on hold and then hung up on him. That's just." It feels like the governor thought, well, I've got to do something, so I'll put out a press release, and surely no one's going to call it. Surely no one's. Really poorly executed. You know, I was actually expecting when he announced this, I was thinking, gosh, this is going to be pretty amazing. You're going to have, you know, Greg Abbott finally kind of stepping up. If another reason, then politically, and say, "Hi, I'm Greg Abbott, your tough lawyer on mandate, or your tough governor on mandates. And if you have an employer doing bad things, leave a message, and I'm going to personally go after them. You're a tough, smart lawyer. You know, whatever kind of, you know, a real kind of campaignish ad on these voicemails." Instead, he just forwarded a phone number to the Texas Workforce Commission.
Right.
And then they didn't even have a menu option, like you said, for more than 24 hours dealing with this. It's like, talk about the least you could do, and less than the least he could do in this whole thing. If you're trying to mollify folks, it seemed like there would be less clumsy ways to do that.
Yeah, Dana watching right now says, nothing says I care more than referring Texans to a government agency recording. And look, that's how a lot of people are feeling, because you're really seeing, I mean, the Republican Party of Texas, as you know, has been calling for a forced special session, saying, look, the only way we're going to be able to address these mandates is by having lawmakers here in Austin. They can pass it. They can pass it in 4 days if they wanted to. They could probably pass it in even less. But give them 4 days, forced special session, they can pass this. And yet we've seen a complete resistance to that from the governor for months now. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you know, I think this is where you have a real worldview a collision going on, mm-hmm. where you've got the governor of Texas, clearly. This is the guy who had said, I'm not going to be doing any mask mandates. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, he imposed a mask mandate. This is the governor who said, I'm not going to shut down the economy. Then he shut down the economy. Mm-hmm. This is the governor who, after shutting down the economy, reopened the economy and said, I never shut down the economy. We have a governor who legislates based on polls and based on what input he's getting from his lobby friends and his Democrat friends. And you're getting to a place where people's real lives are being impacted, and the governor's flailing. It's easy to be the governor of Texas when you're the 10th largest economy and everything's growing and everything's great. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot harder when you're having to make really tough decisions mm-hmm. that divide people like this. Now, this is a governor who's never really done controversy. Mm-hmm. He's always been the let's manage the status quo guy. That's how he was on the Supreme Court. That's how he was when he was on appellate court. That's how he was as the Attorney General. He kind of got his chops with a lot of folks as, oh, he's the Republican from Texas suing the Obama administration.
Right.
Well, gosh, there's no controversy there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's okay with that. But now he's in a place where you've got, some of these big government Republicans who actually want vaccine mandates. You've got big businesses mm-hmm. who want to be able to appease federal masters and out-of-state donors and Democrat supporters who want big businesses to be able to impose mandates. Mm-hmm. So here's the governor sitting there saying, I don't know what to do about it.
That's garland falling.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's very exciting. Wow. Okay. Cool.
But yes. I think you're exactly right there. Good gracious.
It's all going to fall down on
okay.
us or what?
Yeah, this is what happens. Yeah, you try to be a little festive. You try to decorate the set.
I warned you.
I know. You did. Okay. Fair enough.
Be Ebenezer Scrooge. Embrace your Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, goodness. I'm waiting
for the snowflakes to come out of the screen and pile up on us. That might happen, actually,
if we go long enough. But we're talking about vaccine mandates, though. It's not even just companies. I mean, you pointed this out earlier. It's not even just private companies. It's not just federal contractors we're seeing this do this. But you're also seeing people like the Texas National Guard, right? An entity that is ostensibly overseeing, answers to the governor of Texas. And yet we're finding out this week from multiple sources within the Texas military department that the Texas National Guard is being forced to receive the vaccine or be discharged.
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of folks will step up, these... holier than thou. I read a history book once who say, obviously the military is under the DOD and the Pentagon and George Washington wanted smallpox vaccines, rah, 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 that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Welcome to the 20th century. We're not in the 18th century. In the 20th century, the Texas National Guard operates under a dual mission. Mm-hmm. One, yes, they can be federalized and sent off to, some foreign land for some foreign intervention stuff, but day in and day out, they're under state orders. They uh-huh. operate exclusively under the authority of the governor of Texas. The adjutant general of Texas is appointed by the governor of Texas, confirmed by the Senate, all these kind of things. So these are state assets, and they're referred to as state assets. They talk about state missions, mm-hmm. And so these are state employees, for lack of a better way to think of them, who are being told, if you don't get vaccinated, you still have to show up for drill, but we're not going to pay you.
Yeah.
You have to be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated by June, we are going to, we're going to discharge you. Mm-hmm. And I think, a lot of folks in the National Guard were once regular Army. And so they are now using the time of the National Guard. There's a formula that goes towards their retirements and other things. After separating honorably out of the regular Army, they're now in the Texas National Guard, mm-hmm. building up for their retirements and other things. And that's now going, you know, threatened that being pulled out from under them. The more shocking thing this is, these are not orders mm-hmm. from the, you know, from Secretary of Defense Austin in Washington, D.C. These are not, you know, this is not some, you know, Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden ordered all National Guards to just, no. The Texas Military Department is doing this of their own accord. You had Oklahoma, just, you know, our, you know, lesser neighbors to the north, tell us that they weren't going to abide. You've had now a couple of states say, our National Guard's not going to do this.
Yeah.
We're not going to be vaccinating our troops. Now, look, if you federalize them, you're going to send them off somewhere, you're going to do what you want to do. But when they're operating in our state, we're not going to require them to be vaccinated. And yet, for some reason, Greg Abbott, as the commander-in-chief of mm-hmm. the Texas National Guard, is not responding to this. He's not doing anything, and which makes you think, you know, what does the adjutant general, what does the mm-hmm. staff under the adjutant general of the Texas National Guard, what have they heard from Governor Abbott that makes them think they need to be telling soldiers and airmen, we're not going to pay you if you're not vaccinated, and we're going to discharge you if you mm-hmm. haven't been vaccinated by, you know, by date certain. What is it that the governor and his staff have said that led the adjutant general and his staff to think that this is the policy they should pursue? Because this is their policy. Mm-hmm. This isn't anyone else's policy. This is their policy. And I think Governor Abbott needs to answer that. He needs to explain why he is requiring his soldiers and his airmen in Texas to take the vaccine. That he's also, mm-hmm. on the other hand, saying, hey, call my workforce. And,
yeah.
You know, if your employer is forcing a vaccine mandate on you.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these National Guard troops might be calling that number, right?
Yeah.
Calling and saying, oh, I have an employer who
imagine
is.
Imagine that conversation.
And it's you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you don't get the vaccine, National Guard, you might not get paid. Turns out that if you do get the vaccine, you might not be getting paid either. New investigation released this week by our own Robert Montoya revealed that there are pay issues ongoing in the Texas National Guard, specifically for those troops down as part of Operation Lone Star. Now, this Operation Lone Star is Governor Greg Abbott's sort of border effort. It's a joint thing. You've got some National Guard troops along with DPS, Department of Public Safety, state troopers, posted along the border, started back in March. And yet we've seen now from some records from the comptroller, from the Texas Military Department, that, you know, you have potentially hundreds of these people that are not being paid properly. And I think it just speaks to a more overall issue, which is, you know, perhaps there are some real problems that may have gone unnoticed for a while in the Texas Military Department altogether.
Yeah, you know, look, you know, again, it's this, you feel a lot like someone forgot to mention that issuing a press release actually does require some degree of governing follow-through. And, you know, all I can think is that, you know, the Texas Military Department just wasn't told, hey, we're actually expecting you to pay these people.
Yeah.
You know? It's a horrible situation because, as you know, when someone is deployed, whether they're deployed overseas, the Texas National Guard, or are deployed, you know, to the coast for a hurricane or to South Texas for the border, they can't be fired mm-hmm. from their regular job, but they're not paid by their regular job either, and so that means that you've got these young men, young women, who are ostensibly, you know, that they in good faith put on the uniform, showed up in South Texas to defend our state from this foreign invasion, mm-hmm. and yet they're not being paid. You know, they're not being able to make ends meet. It's a horrible situation. And again, you know, we started hearing about this. I think Robert started hearing about mm-hmm. this back in early October. Started putting in public information requests and asking lots of questions about it. And again, so you're talking, this is not just yesterday. This has been going on for now a couple of months, affecting hundreds of soldiers and airmen, and yet the governor has said nothing about it. His office has not commented on it. That's pretty shoddy in my mind.
Yes, and you've got Governor Abbott's primary challengers, his Republican opponents, in next year's primary elections are obviously taking the opportunity right now to highlight some of these. You've got former State Senator Don Huffines, who said this week, Greg Abbott is commander-in-chief of the Texas military and took an oath to protect Texans' rights. His continued refusal to take action against vaccine mandates puts our state and our citizens at risk at a time when the Texas border is being invaded by thousands of illegal aliens every day, adding that on issue after issue, Greg Abbott demonstrates he's a failed leader unfit for the job. Alan West, former Republican Party of Texas chairman, said it was highly disturbing that Texas National Guard members were being ordered, mandated to take the COVID shot, unless on active duty orders, the commander-in-chief of the Texas National Guard is the governor, not Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. And then you have Chad Prather as well chiming in saying, Texas employers continue to carry out the mandates and people are losing their jobs. Why hasn't Abbott called a session to make this a law? I bet the Texas National Guard is wondering the same thing. His executive order is ineffective and worthless. So really, you know, some opportunities there to take some jabs. And very interesting when we're, you know, it's December 10th right now. The primary election is currently scheduled for March 1st. So you really only got, you know, less than 3 months. And it's interesting that as the governor who is being challenged by multiple opponents here, I would put himself in such a position to be potentially open to criticism like this, you know, with early voting starting just in, you know, middle of February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to understand the strategy of Team Abbott. You read his social media, you look at the press releases you put out, and it is as if he thinks, if I don't address these things, they're not happening. And it's just a weird way to approach. You know, I'm not going to confront a problem. I'm going to ignore the problem. And I guess maybe hoping that if he doesn't talk about it, most voters won't know about it. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of a thing. And then, you know, that is a strategy, but it's a strategy that while it might serve his political purposes, mm-hmm. is failing the people of Texas. You know, at some point, if we lose, you know, a couple thousand soldiers to mm-hmm. the vaccine mandate, if you have, you know, 500-600 soldiers say, okay, I was hoping to get some extra retirement out of this, but I'm quitting the National Guard, which they can do,
right?
Because I'm not getting paid. I want to serve, but if I'm not going to get paid,
yeah,
you know, I can't afford that. That starts weakening Texas, mm-hmm. and you go down the line there. And it feels like the governor would be better served saying, "I'm fixing this problem," rather than sticking his head in the sand like some, weird Republican ostrich and claiming the problems don't exist.
Interesting. When people go and vote, though, in that March primary on the GOP primary ballot, they're going to also have propositions. I alluded to these at the top. These propositions, right, they're non-binding. I wish they were. But they're essentially kind of a poll. It's using the Republican primary voters as a poll on a number of issues. And I want to run through some of these. I believe there's 10 on the ballot. But the first one is border security. And the language there is, in light of the federal government's refusal to defend the southern border, Texas should immediately deploy the National Guard, Texas military forces, and necessary state law enforcement to seal the border, enforce immigration laws, and deport illegal aliens. Certainly an issue that we've heard, you know, border security has been a top issue for a long time for Republican primary voters. It has really amped up this year.
It's amped up, and I think that what you're hearing when you saw like State Representative Ryan Guillen switch parties a couple weeks ago. He was a Democrat, became a Republican. You know, he talked about border issues. You talk to a lot of folks down the border, you've got a lot of, you know, kind of historic Democrat voters who are saying, okay, this might be the issue that pushes me voting Republican this year because it's getting worse. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of illegals literally camped on this side of the border waiting to surge across at any moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally saying they're doing that. And this is a dangerous situation. And you know, I think this is a... This is not going away mm-hmm. until somebody addresses it.
Number two, proposition eliminating the property tax. This is a big kind of move here. It says Texas should eliminate all property taxes within 10 years without implementing a state income tax. And certainly we've seen plans that could do this. The legislature, of course, decided not to do that this session.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, you had the Texas Public Policy Foundation put together numbers and a plan that literally has you eliminating the school property tax in under 10 years without raising any taxes. That you're on a very clear trajectory for them to get rid of the rest of the property taxes pretty quickly after that. This is a doable thing, and you don't have to get an income tax. You don't have to do crazy things with the existing taxes. It's just a matter of controlling spending. And that's something that, you know, Republicans claim to be for, is controlling the size of government. What it seems like they really mean is, we want big government that we like, you know, it kind of seems to do with what Republicans mean. So having this on there is going to put a lot of Republican officials in a hot spot where if they get, you know, 70, 80, 90%, which is not unreasonable to expect given various polling on this, you know, of voters in the primary saying we want to limit property taxes, you're going to end up in a situation like you've had with a couple others before where more people will vote on this question, the ballot question, in state reps district, more people will vote to eliminate property taxes on their Republican primary ballot than voted for their state rep.
Wow.
So, you've seen that repeatedly in the past. You know, Republican primary voters really care about these issue things. And I think that's where some Republican legislators are going to have to figure out in the next year and a half, do they want to serve the people or are they trying to serve the cronies?
Right. Proposition 3 here, the vaccine mandates. Texans should not lose their job nor students be penalized for declining a COVID-19 vaccine. Certainly ties in with what we talked about earlier in the show. And will be interesting to actually see the numbers play out on that once we get those in March. Now the next one, Proposition 4, parents' rights and critical race theory. Texas schools should teach students basic knowledge in American exceptionalism and reject critical race theory and other curricula that promote Marxist doctrine and encourage division based on creed, race, or economic status. And this is interesting, not only because we've seen more parents exposed and understanding and fighting critical race theory and other similar curriculum in Texas schools recently, but this is also an issue that the Texas legislature has now twice this year said they fixed.
You know, I mean, it really is laughable at this point. You know, you had the governor, and oh yes, we've stopped critical race theory, and you know, Fox News and national media, oh look, Texas stopped critical race theory. Oh, come to find out they did nothing to it. They came back in a special session. Now we've really fixed it. And of course we found that they really haven't fixed it.
Right.
Again, legislating via press release doesn't work very well. And I think that, you dovetail this in with a lot of the other problems of pornography in the school libraries, with a lot of these predators, kind of being allowed to continue to hold jobs, even like the superintendent of Round Rock, you get a lot of folks who are saying, we need to reassess everything about public education. And this is kind of a good entry point, I think, for a lot of people, to people who in the past thought, well, you know, I just spent $300,000 to buy a house in a good school district. You know, I don't want to criticize the good school district.
Right.
I just made the biggest purchase of my life to get my kid into these schools.
Yeah.
Now they're realizing these good schools really aren't so good.
Proposition 5, right to life. Texas should enact a state constitutional amendment to defend the sanctity of innocent human life created in the image of God from fertilization until natural death. Certainly something we've seen with the Heartbeat Act. We even saw some news with the Supreme Court this morning that we'll have some information up on TexasScorecard.com. But continuing that fight to protect life. This next one, though, is very interesting because this one's not really a legislative priority so much as like the other ones are. This is actually more about how the Texas legislature operates, and that is that the Republican-controlled Texas legislature should end the practice of awarding committee chairmanships to Democrats.
You know, this might actually be one, the most important question on the Republican issues ballot, but two, the one that has the potential to do the most to expose the real thinking, the real ideology of your legislators, because this strikes at the heart of the power structure in Austin. This strikes at the way they do business and the way they all chummy pal pal. Let's go drink together when we turn off, when we get off the floor. this goes to who are you really working for? And you know, you had this vote on the floor of the Texas House just under a year ago. Senator Brian Slayton put an amendment to the rules that would have done this, and it was overwhelmingly defeated. You had all these snivel-nosed Republicans voting against, saying, "Oh, we have to do better. We are good friends and colleagues here." And of course, the very next day, the Democrats start killing everything with the approval of the Speaker of the House. That Republicans care about. So I think this is going to be interesting to watch how this plays out.
No, and keep in mind they also left and then came back and there was and there was no consequences. Even then they couldn't get their chairmanship strip. Proposition 7 related to that, actually, election integrity. Essentially the language there expanding on what Texas has done. Texas obviously did pass election integrity legislation this session. But there was the minor detail where they reduce the penalty for illegal voting from a felony down to a misdemeanor.
Just a trivial matter like that.
And so the parties, that proposition says we need to restore that. We need to do even more. Proposition 8, gender modification. Texas should ban chemical castration, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and genital mutilation surgery on all minor children for sex transition purposes. This has been, this was a legislative priority for the party this session. This has been on the, similar language has been on the primary ballot before, and yet this is an issue where, again, we've seen that not only is the legislature not acting, but the governor's not really even pushing them on it.
Yeah, well, you had the governor go on a radio show in Dallas early in the fall and say, "Oh, well, the reason I'm not pushing this is it's going to fail in the Texas House. The Texas House is not going to consider this." Bless his heart, Matt Krause, the outgoing state rep from Hazlitt, he went, he worked his colleagues, and he got 76 of them to sign on. That's the number you need to pass something to legislation, and still the governor didn't, which tells you maybe the governor doesn't actually want to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Two more here. Proposition 9, parental education relief. Texas parents and guardians should have the right to select schools, whether public or private, for their children, and the funding should follow the student. And then lastly, you've got Proposition 10, freedom of conscience. Texans affirms that our freedoms come from God and that the government should have no control over the conscience of individuals. So to wrap this up, Michael, you look at these 10, I think all 10 will pass overwhelmingly, would be my expectation among Republican primary voters. One question, what is the disconnect? Why do Republican primary voters vote for these things and we don't see the legislature follow, A? And B, what is a citizen to do about that, right? Once we get these results back, what is the next step? Okay, we vote on these, but then what do we do?
Yeah, and just look, some of this goes to kind of the failing of the way we do political parties in Texas. In many states, the parties have the ability to say, you can no longer use our brand name when you run for office. In Texas, we let anyone. There's a fella out there running around who is, as I understand it, has filed for a position on the State Board of Education, and he has filed as a Republican, as a Democrat, as a Green Party member, and as a Libertarian. He's running in all of their primaries, and that's legal. That now he can't be on the general ballot on all those, so you'd have to pick one. But yet, the parties don't have the ability in Texas to say, Brandon, you can't run as a Republican. Sorry, and tear up your application. That's something that maybe I think first and foremost should start allowing, of saying, look, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, whatever, should be allowed to say, look, you're not upholding these things. You've got 10 things here that Republican voters are going to, some number of them are going to say in overwhelming numbers they're for. And so if you don't do this, if you're working against these things, you're not a Republican in Texas. The Republican Party should be allowed to say that. So that's number one. Number two, this just kind of goes to our responsibility as voters of being able to say to our elected officials, look, you picked the Speaker of the House. You're the chairman of this important Senate committee. These are the things that me and my neighbors and all of us said that we wanted to do, and you didn't do any of them. What value are you? What good are you? You're a bad employee. And that's where, again, it's on us to stop being swayed by, oh gosh, the state senator sent me a Christmas card. I'm going to vote for him. And instead say, this employee isn't doing the jobs I asked him to do, so I need to replace that, you know, this guy with, you know, with this gal who might actually do the job. Yeah, you know, we've got to be, you know, we have to be much more professional as citizens in approaching the way we treat our government.
No, like and that all starts at the March 1st, 2022 primary elections, with our candidate filing, by the way, is Monday. The deadline is Monday, and so we'll see what kind of last-minute filings we get ahead of that, and we'll talk about that on next week's episode. But thank you so much for joining, Michael.
Thanks, Brandon.
Appreciate it. A couple of quick announcements. I want to let folks know that we are accepting applications for summer, fall, and spring of 2023 for our Texas Scorecard Fellowship. So if you know somebody between the ages of 18 to 25 who'd like to come down here and work with us for a few months, you can go to texasscorecard.com/fellowship. And if you're watching live right now on Facebook, we'll drop that link down in the comments. But also, Texas Scorecard, we are hiring, all right? Head to texasscorecard.com/opportunities to see a couple new positions that we're looking to fill here in the near future. Again, that's texasscorecard.com/opportunities. I want to thank everybody watching. I see Jason watching from Houston, Sharon tuning in from Taylor, Nadia watching from DFW. If you're watching this later, you have any questions, please feel free to drop questions down in the comments. Be happy to get back to some of those later. But for right now, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.